Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Oscar Peterson, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, and more on Jazz for the Asking.
It's, as always, very nice to have you with us for another edition of the program. I'm Keith Parent. We're going to begin today with something very up-tempo from the swing era. It's Benny Goodman and his orchestra with a track that became so connected with him, people called it his signature song, Let's Dance. Let's Dance, Benny Goodman and his orchestra, beginning today's edition of the program. In 1963, on September the 6th of that year, Duke Ellington embarked on a very wonderful and exciting tour. The tour brought him to Damascus, Amman, Kabul, New Delhi, Ceylon, Tehran, Madras, Bombay, Baghdad, and Ankara. It was a tour of the Middle East and parts of Asia. Upon his return to the United States, he was influenced from the trip to make an album that had music that was influenced from that part of the world. The album, released in 1967, is called Duke Ellington's Far East Suite. Let's take a listen to one track from it, Tourist Point of View. ¶¶ Duke Ellington, Tourist's Point of View. You're listening to Jazz for the Asking from PCJ Radio International. We now move on to someone who I had a chance to meet in 2002 in Nanjing, China. Her name is Isa Straub, and she's one of Europe's leading jazz authorities. She plays piano, and she also has a group called Ilsa and Her Satchmos. Satchmos, of course, referring to Louis Armstrong. We're going to take a listen to a recording that she made that was recorded for a university in Duisburg, Germany, called Black and White Together, featuring compositions made famous by Louis Armstrong. Here's the St. Louis Blues, Ilsa and Her Satchmos.
Thank you.
Ilsa and Her Satchmos with St. Louis Blues. We're now going to take a listen to an album that was just reissued. It was recorded in 1966 for the Impulse label. Archie Shepp, live in San Francisco. It is probably, if not, one of my favorite live recordings from him. It features, of course, Archie Shepp on tenor sax and piano, Donald Garrett on bass, Beaver Harris on drums, Roswell Rudd on trombone, and Lewis Worrell on bass as well. We're going to listen to a composition here, which everybody knows, called The Lady Sings the Blues, Archie Shepp.
Thank you.
The Lady Sings the Blues, Archie Shepp and his group, recorded live in San Francisco in 1966, which has just been reissued as a new high-fidelity CD and also reissued on vinyl. If you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple. It's jazz@pcjmedia.com. Once again, jazz@pcjmedia.com. Let's now move to somebody who was no stranger to this program. She's been here as a guest, and also we feature her music from time to time. Her name is Anna Lundqvist. She is from Sweden. This is from a CD released in 2009 called Borderline Fiesta with Surprising Refrain.
Nearly given up, and suddenly you entered my life without a warning. So right. given up, and suddenly you entered my life without a warning. So right, and you were so alive, like the break that I had never found. And I'm ending up in places of my soul that I never dared to visit before. From that moment, it has always been you.
Anna Lundqvist and her quartet with Surprising Refrain from the album Borderline Fiesta. Not too long ago, I came across a very interesting release called Jazz at the Boston Arts Festival. It was produced by George Veen and was released in Japan on the Toka Ma record label. Now, I know it's originally from probably, I would guess, the 1950s or 60s. I haven't been able to find out much more about it, except it was originally released on the Storyville label. It has artists such as Vic Dickinson on trombone, Ruby Baff on trumpet, and others. And it's just a collection of very well-known jazz standards. Like this one, After You've Gone. Jazz at the Boston Arts Festival. And if you know any more about this album, please let me know. I'm very curious to find out more about it. Let's now move to someone who we haven't played for quite some time. Many of you have been asking to hear more of her music. That is the one and only Diana Krall. This is from the Verve album, Quiet Nights, with Too Marvelous for Words.
Marvelous for words, like glorious and glamorous, and that old standby, amorous. It's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough, tell enough. I mean, they're just not swell enough. Just too very, very, too early in Webster's dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, to tell you that you're marvelous, to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous for words.
Too Marvelous for Words, Diana Krall. In the 1970s, Oscar Peterson recorded a series of albums for the MPS label. And I have to be honest, some of these are, as far as I'm concerned, even better than the ones he recorded for Verve and even Pablo. One of my favorite recordings from this series that he did for MPS was called In Tune, the Oscar Peterson Trio and the Singers Unlimited. And it's a really good album. It's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. There's a good collection of compositions on it. One of the tracks on here that became somewhat of a hit is actually a children's song used for a children's television show. The show is called Sesame Street. So here it is. The Oscar Peterson Trio plus the Singers Unlimited. Oscar Peterson and the Singers Unlimited with Sesame Street from the TV show of the same name. One musician, when it comes to jazz, I think is slightly underestimated. He was never really given his full dues, as far as I'm concerned, and that is Stan Kenton. Stan Kenton and his orchestra toured extensively through the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. One composition he became very well connected with is called Intermission Riff, composed by Ray Wedzel. Here it is now, Stan Kenton and his orchestra, Intermission Riff. Thank you. Stan Kenton and his orchestra with Intermission Rift. Al Hurt had a number of hits in the 1960s for the RCA label. One of his biggest at the time was Java. People may not know so much as that in New Orleans, he would perform nightly with his small intimate group where they would play Dixieland and straightforward traditional jazz. Let's take a listen to one of those recordings right now. Al Hurt and his group, not orchestra, but group, with New Orleans. Al Hurt and his group recorded live in New Orleans with New Orleans. Our last piece today comes from Harry James. During the 1930s and 1940s, Harry James had a very popular big band. But it wasn't until, as far as I'm concerned, the 1950s, that Harry James really became what I would consider a Class A trumpet player. The arrangements and recordings that he made in the 1950s are, as far as I'm concerned, the best that he did. Way better than the stuff from the 1930s and 40s. This is from a recording made for the MGM label, Cottontail. Cottontail, Harry James ending this edition of Jazz for the Asking. I'm Keith Parent.